Hour brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Cereal Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com. I'm your announcer, Miss Candy Lee of CriticalClownConjure.com in Pensacola, Florida, and in just a moment, we'll be joined by our co-host, Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com in Forestville, California, and Conjurman Ali of ConjurmanAli.com in Mission Viejo, California. This week, we will be joined by a special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, Dr. E of ConjureDoctor.com in Long Beach, California. They will take your calls and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection using traditional African American folk magic practices of hoodoo, conjure, or root work, as defined and prescribed by the greatest spiritual hoodooist of our times. You can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and called into the show, then you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a moment, but first, let's catch up with our co-hosts, Miss Kat and Conjurman Ali. Miss Kat?
Hi, Miss Tammy Lee. Nice to hear your beautiful voice.
Thank you.
How are things down in Pensacola, Florida?
They are great. They're hot cooking and raining one day and melting the next.
And how's your conjure work going?
It's going really, really well, Miss Kat. You know, I have to say, and I sent you a sweet little email, but folks, and thank you so much for asking me. The things that we learn with Miss Kat and that we've grown up with or that we've learned certainly from our teacher, Miss Kat, you really can apply those to the business world. And that's what I meant when I sent that to you, because I hit a goal that was, it was almost near impossible, but I was determined to make it, and I made it on the last day. And it was because of some of the things that I had learned from you. And I just really appreciate it.
Well, that's great. That's great. I'm glad to know that you're doing well, and I hope you're getting a lot of clients in Pensacola. You know, we need root workers down in that area who are honest and reputable. And I hope that someday that Miss Tammy, that you decide to join AIR. I know you're working at this, and I know you know you've been practicing for quite a while. But you're a wonderful, compassionate person, and really go the extra mile for your clients. And I'd love to see more people get to know you. TripleCrownConjure.com.
And I
thank you always for being our announcer, you know, because you take the humble role here, but you really are somebody in your own right, and we appreciate that a lot. We're lucky to have you.
Yes, ma'am.
Definitely look forward to seeing you.
Thanks, y'all. All right. Thank you.
So, and thank you, Papa Newt, in the chat room for posting her URL, TripleCrownConjure.com. All right. And Ali, nice to hear from you. What's up down in Mission Viejo?
Oh, you know, we've just had a busy week. As you know, my theory of love and summer seems to go hand in hand. So it's been a wonderful week. Quite busy. Just finishing up some candle reports that need to be sent out along with some photos. Whenever I do root work for a client, I always take photos of the work and then give them a check reading, saying, okay, well, this is how it went. This is what caromancy, you know, the candle burning went. This is how, you know, the divination reveals that this is what you can expect. So I have a few of those reports to go out. I'm excited to be on the air again with our wonderful friend, Dr. E, from Southern California also. So we got the Southern California crew going.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Dr. E, it's always nice to have you here. And And I know I've got a plan for this this portion of the show, because I really want you to talk about what you're doing. Folks, Dr. E has a church, and he has an education program as part of it. So without any further ado, Dr. E, I just want you to tell people about SAFE. Now, those people who follow you on Facebook may have seen some of this, but just for those who don't follow you on Facebook, tell us about SAFE, S-A-F-E.
Okay, great, thanks. Well, I decided to finally sort of put my church together with an online presence. The church is part of the Missionary Independent Spiritualist Church movement. We are known as the Santeria Church of the Orishas. You can find us online at santeriachurch.org, santeriachurch.org. And the main mission of our church is education, and that is to educate people about the traditional Afro-Caribbean practices of Santeria, also known as Lukumi. And more importantly, I think the real big thing we're working on is our church action committee that's called SAFE, S-A-F-E. SAFE is an acronym that represents Santeros Against Fraud and Exploitation. Now, this is something that very much comes out of my own personal experience when I first became involved with this religion. I, unfortunately, was a victim of religious abuse. And I was swindled for thousands of dollars at the hands of somebody that decided to use fear and manipulation in order to scare me into spending all this money.
Mm-hmm.
So that, in combination with a lot of the, frankly, crap that I've been hearing about out there in the public, I decided, okay, I might as well start educating people about what is traditional Santeria Lukumi practice and what is not, so that way people can be educated and know what they're getting themselves into and know how to identify red flags and things to look out for. So the way that SAFE works is if we hear about any activity in the public, in the community, that is unethical, that is fraudulent, that is exploitative, we will report about it on our church website, and it's known as a SAFE alert, and that is to alert the community of what's going on. I recently posted an article about some fraudulent cowrie shell divination that's taking place in a relatively close vicinity to our church location here in Long Beach. It's an interesting read for those of you, if you can go read it. This is, you know, we want to let people know about the negative stuff that's going out there, but at the same time, we want to create a real dependable resource with valid information about our tradition. So we've been writing articles also. I put a great article up about the seven African powers that reveals a lot of information that many people don't know about the seven African powers, where they think it's the seven primary orishas of the Lukumi faith, when it's not. They're actually spirit guides. And it's funny, since I posted that article, all of these other traditional Lukumi practitioners are writing me and thanking me, saying, thank you for clearing up something that has been so misrepresented across the internet for so many years. And then every once in a while I get an email that says, but, you know, I'm reading this other stuff all over the internet, so how can you prove to me that your information is valid? Well, the thing is that I am one of the culture bearers of this tradition. You know, I am of Cuban heritage. I'm a first-generation American. I was raised with this stuff around me. I'm a priest of almost 11 years in the religion. And most importantly, I'm a cowrie shell diviner. I've dedicated myself continuously for the last about 2 years almost to studying the cowrie shell divination system known as Dilogun with an almost rabbinical dedication. Okay, like I really have been dedicating my life to this. And all of the practices of our religion are encoded within that oral tradition. So if you know that tradition, you know what's real and you know what's not. And, you know, I'm more than happy to give people cross-references for any of the information that I have. But it's been a real pursuit of my passion and a pursuit of something that I think can really benefit the public and hopefully prevent people from going through the painful things that I went through.
And there are excellent articles. I mean, I've read a few of them, and they're wonderful. Interestingly, I think one of the articles where you talk about the lagoon, I think I know exactly where you're talking about, what location, but they'll remain nameless.
Right.
One question I have, and this is something that I think our listeners can benefit from, is as a authentic initiate of Lukumi, what would you say are things that people can look for to know the difference between, okay, this person is telling me authentic Lukumi practices, this is an actual initiate and I'm not, versus someone that may be a scam or maybe giving out misinformation? Like, what are some big red flags, would you say?
Right. That's a really good question. One of the first red flags you can look out for is when you ask questions, they either tell you, oh, I can't tell you that, that's secret, or you need to shut up and just watch and learn that way. That's usually a big sign that somebody is trying, either they don't have the information, or they're trying to place you into a subservient, manipulative, you know, position so that they can scare you into doing things without giving you any information. So that right there is a big red flag. Another one is if you ever hear, oh, we don't believe in animal sacrifice. I will tell you right now, every African traditional religion and its diaspora practices blood sacrifice. That's just a fact, okay? Lukumi does it, Palo does it, Kimbandan does it, you know, every Candomblé does it, Shango does it, Obeya does it, everyone does it. It's part of the African tradition. They tell you that they have vegetarian orishas. These are not. This is not traditional practice, okay? And they do whatever they decide to call it, but it is not traditional practice. And another one is if they try to tell you that you have to have sex with them for an initiation or things like that. Huge red flag. One of the greatest taboos we have in, I believe, all of the African tradition is that there cannot be any sexual contact between the godparent and the godchild. That is the most horrible, offensive taboo that you can break in all of the African traditional religions. That, you know, that includes Vodou, that includes Palo, that includes Santeria Lukumi, that includes Candomblé, that includes Obeya, that includes Shango Baptist, that includes all of them, because it breaks the natural spiritual order of things. So right there, you have three big red flags to look out for that are signaling unethical, illegitimate, or non-traditional practice.
Yeah. I'm gonna say something here. This is a question, and Nagashiba kind of pointed toward it in the chat room. Religions do change and evolve, obviously. There was a time when Judaism was not practiced without ritual animal sacrifice, and at some point it stopped being practiced. And even the most Orthodox and ultra-Orthodox no longer perform ritual animal sacrifice.
Right.
Is it possible that there may be what I would call legitimate Protestant schisms, and I'm using the word Protestant with a lowercase p, in Lukumi, Santeria, from any of those, or Voodoo, or any of those African diasporic religions that become vegetarians, that are lineage holders, they're not, in other words, not making it up, but that they have made a change. In the same way that, for instance, the Episcopalian Church suddenly says, we now recognize gay marriage. Is that legitimate to do?
Well, I'll put it to you this way. If those people were to go back to Africa and say they were a priest of so-and-so and they did not receive blood sacrifice, those Africans would not recognize the legitimacy of their priesthood. It's one of those things where it is it's as much a part of African traditional practice as Jesus is a part of Christian practice. You know, if you take it out of there, you've changed the religion to the point that it is no longer that part of the religion, and that's because the blood sacrifice is what gives life to our orishas. And if you are not giving life to them, you don't have an orisha. That's the way it works. Now, to sort of counter your point with Judaism, that occurred with the destruction of the temple. You know, and the main reason that it can happen is because the temple's not there. And, you know, they have the Western Wall, and, you know, they suspect that, you know, maybe this is, you know, the area where it is, but because it's now occupied by, you know, a Muslim place of worship, they can't do their sacrifices there, you know. I don't doubt that people can choose to evolve what they want, but it would not be considered traditional. For example, Philip Niemark's group, they are an Ifa foundation that does, they give people the option of opting out of animal sacrifice, okay? I will put it this way, outside of Philip Niemark's group, nobody will recognize the initiations of his people. So
well, wait a minute. Now that, okay, whoa. Back up a second, because you raise an interesting point. Of course, no Catholic will recognize a Lutheran as a Catholic.
Right.
But Lutheranism still is a valid religion that is a culture-bearing religion of Christianity. They just simply mark their divergence from a certain point. So Philip Niemark's group might not be recognized in Africa by the Orthodox interlocking hierarchies because of a schism, but it wouldn't be proper to say they were not practicing the religion. They simply are practicing a schismatic form. And what I'm trying to get at here is that they, I would counter that they are very, very different than, and I'm going to just make up a name here, Ms. Mumbo Jumbo, who says, I'm an initiated priestess and blah, 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 and has completely fabricated. You see that there is a difference.
Yeah, no, I get it. Yeah, I get the difference.
Well, there's also...
The thing is, a Lutheran would never call themselves Catholic. That's the difference.
Right.
You know, if you want to create whatever you want to call it that. You know, for example,
right.
The Spiritists in New York in the mid-1900s were very much in love with the Orisha religion but didn't practice it, and so they incorporated the Orishas into their practice of spiritualism, of espiritismo, and thus mm-hmm. evolved the religious practice Santerismo, which means, mm-hmm. you know, Santerism. You know, it's not even Santeria.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
it's sort of a schism group. You know, and people understand what it is, but even they have the common sense to call themselves something different because they knew where they were something different. It's more when people try to present themselves as something traditional when they are practicing non-traditional ways.
Mm-hmm. Well, this happens also in Afro-Brazilian traditions. For example,
right.
the Orisha worship of, you know, Brazil is Candomblé. And Candomblé is very much linked to the Nagao, you know, practices of Yoruba and has animal sacrifice. But then you have another form of Orisha cult known as Umbanda, and Umbanda does not practice animal sacrifice. Now, that does not make them an inauthentic religion. In fact, it was nearly the state religion in the 50s and 60s of Brazil. Umbanda was that big. But Umbanda's approach to the Orishas is heavily influenced by Kardecian spiritism. Okay?
Right.
So they approach the Orishas in a very different manner. There is no animal sacrifice. They also don't practice what most people would call, what they call, is what I should say, black magic, quote-unquote, which is magic that has, you know, more of a coercive element. Even though that forms a harming aspect, does form a very central part of most of these traditions. So there are schismatic groups. They're not less authentic, but they are a completely different approach and also a different religion.
Right, exactly. And they at least call themselves something different. They would never
right.
ever
Umbanda would
say,
never call themselves Candomblé.
Right. Right, exactly. And we're seeing this also happen with, like, a lot of neo-pagan people have a great interest in the Orishas and don't either they don't have access to the traditional cultural manner of honoring and worshiping those Orishas, or they choose to opt out of the things with which they have a moral conflict. And so they worship the Orishas in a Wiccan or neo-pagan way. That person would never go forward and say, I'm a Santera, I'm an Olorisha. She may say, I'm a priestess of Yamaya, and even then I would argue with that because nobody initiated her to Yamaya, you know what I mean? But it would be more appropriate for her to say, I'm a devotee of Yamaya, do you know what I mean?
Right.
And I'm a witch who works with Yamaya or something like that.
Right.
Right. Well, I predict, knowing what I know about the cultural dynamics at play here, is that as a religion goes from being a local, regional, small cultural religion to becoming a religion on the worldwide stage, it tends to modify, to adapt to those around it. There are hardliners who don't like that change and say, we won't accept you. And there are other people who say, we don't care if we're accepted, we're just going to call ourselves this. There are fakers who try to pretend to initiations they didn't have. And what I'm seeing is that the entire African diasporic religious set, all of the ATRs, as they're called, are right now, since the beginning of the Internet, and even in the 90s, when the Internet was really started, it was very hard for me to find any initiate of an ATR. There were very few of them online, and now they're everywhere. At the time, I used to work as a volunteer for an outfit called DMOZ. It's a directory, Internet directory of websites. And I had to present argumentation that there should even be directory listings for African religions, and the reasoning that they gave, and this went on for 4 months of arguing among editors until I got enough editors to agree with me to allow us to actually create that section, and the reason was they said African people aren't on the Internet. And I said, well, what about African people in the Caribbean and Brazil? And so they're not on the Internet either. And I said, well, what about initiates in San Francisco, initiates in New York? Well, there aren't enough of them. You can't make a directory listing for them. Well, of course, that was proved to be laughably untrue, and now there's sections. But I have to say, I had to fight for 4 months to just get those sections to be acknowledged. So what we're seeing, and that was in the 90s, that was the mid-90s, so what we're seeing, 10, 15 years down the line, 20 years down the line, is that these African diasporic religions are spreading very widely, and we're going to see more schismatic things happening.
Right.
Ed Ayer, at AIR, the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, we have pages on different religions. We have a page on Christianity. Then that breaks down into three more pages, one on Orthodox, one on a Catholic, Roman Catholic, and one on Protestant. And then each of those has different little sub-things going on. We have stuff
right.
on Judaism and so forth. And the African religions are given a site of an over page, just like the Christian, but there are becoming more and more subpages. And you, Dr. E, I have to say, you are the one who's writing most of them. And I really congratulate you for that, because you're putting information up at AIR that's available to everybody on all of these different religions, how they interact, what they are, and many of them will remain small. Some of them will become very large. Some of them will become hugely popular. Some of them were hugely popular, like Umbanda, and we didn't even know about it because they were in Brazil, and we're all so American-centric. But the point I'm trying to get to is that faith and what you're doing is really about what Lukumi, Santeria, and
right.
preserving its cultural traditions and protecting people within that. But
right.
within the other... how can I put this in a polite way? Within the other African traditional religions, both in Africa and in the diasporic countries in which they may appear in variation, it's the Wild West. There
right.
is no, I guess the opposite, instead of safe, it would be vafe. There are no voodoo-sans against fraud and exploitation. And
right.
there are some religions that need that kind of oversight.
Yeah,
right.
And I really admire you for what you're doing, because you are pointing out abuses, and it's very important because people are so easily abused in religious matters. What you're doing to me is equivalent to what someone like Jason Berry did with the Catholic Church, exposing some of the fraud and abuse in the Catholic Church. So I really congratulate you for that. I hope that others will join. I'm not against religion. I love religion, obviously, but there is a lot of... weakness in self-policing among these religions, especially those which are not found on every street corner in every neighborhood. You know, if a Baptist,
right.
if a Baptist misuses you or a Catholic priest misuses you, you can kind of stick up your hand and go, hey, that's not how it's supposed to be. But if you don't know much about Santeria, or you don't know much about voodoo, or you don't know much about Kimbanda, or whatever it may be, and you go, I'm going to sign up there. I'm, you know, I feel drawn to this. And then the next thing you know, you've been handed your head on a platter. And
right.
so this is important. And I really want to say to everybody, sign up for Dr. E's Facebook pages where he puts those safe alerts up there. It's wonderful. It's helpful. It's really good material. Okay.
Remember, education is the best way to counter ignorance, and that's what you're doing, Dr. E. So, absolutely, I commend you for that.
Thank
yeah.
you. Thank you both. Thank you. I'm very
yeah.
proud of it.
All right. Well, Ms. KJ in the chat room says, some lines of Wicca are like that, too. Absolutely. I have seen it in Wicca. I'm going to tell
mm-hmm.
you, I have seen sexual abuse in Buddhism. Okay? Buddhism. There's been
all religions.
Abuse.
It's not
yeah.
unique to any religion.
It's
not unique
right.
to any religion.
Right. So, but the thing is, somebody who is a good source of information about what it should be like can also help protect you. So it's not only that Dr. E is exposing the villains, but that he's also presenting material that would not be easy to find otherwise, because he speaks Spanish, he speaks English, he's presenting material that is true, like who are the seven African powers, that kind of material. That is valuable information to anyone who wants to learn about a religion, and I hope that others will join in who come from other religions and will make some of that available on the Internet so that the Internet fraudsters take in fewer victims. Okay? Either for abuse, for power, for money, for sexual favors, whatever it is their game is, sometimes just for fame.
Mm-hmm.
It's always nice to know that there's someplace you can go and get some truth. Okay. All righty. Well, Miss Tammy Lee, we went a little bit over on our time talking about this, but it's important material. So
yes,
how about
is.
We turn this over to you and tell us what we do next, Miss Tammy Lee.
Yes, ma'am, Ms. Kat. And just a reminder to everyone that the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with your hosts, Catherine Ironwood and Kanjaman Ali, and this week's special guest, Dr. E, will be right back. will be taking calls from our listeners, answering their questions through spiritual divination, and prescribing down-home conjure remedies and remediation. Our call-in clients are selected from among those who have filled out a short questionnaire at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. You can listen to the show online through Blog Talk Radio or by telephone by dialing 818-394-8535. If you have filled out a client questionnaire at the forum, please dial in now to 818-394-8535 and press 1 to let us know that you're available to be on the air. We will select callers by their area code. And if your area code is announced, we'd like for you to say hello and let me, your announcer, Ms. Tammy Lee, read a brief description of your situation before turning it over to our host. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our first client. Our first client is calling in from area code 206 from Seattle, Washington. This is Miss KJ. Miss KJ, are you there, caller?
Hi.
Hi. Welcome to the show. I'm going to go ahead and read the brief description of your situation for our host. And she writes, I've been trying to get pregnant for 2 years with my husband of 4 years. We've been told by our fertility specialist that there are no health issues with either of us. I'll be getting ready to go into vitro fertilization in September. I often read that magic for members of my community, but don't feel that I work on my own behalf as effectively. I'd like to know what spiritual or magical things you would recommend to support the upcoming in vitro fertilization procedure. In addition to pursuing the Western medical route, I've used prayer ties and offerings, magic, visualization and prayers, acupuncture, and shamanic journey, to support this process. Turning it back over to you.
All right.
Oh, perfect.
All right. So KJ does not need a reading. We're going to go right to the root work, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because, and KJ, I'm going to just ask a couple of questions. What is your sign of the zodiac?
Gemini.
And your husband's sign?
Virgo.
And how old are you both?
I am 38 and he is 48.
All right. Okay. So I'm going to go into some quickie ideas here that I have, and I'm going to let the boys join in, of course, because you know, we're all in this together. But I've done a lot of this kind of work. Being a female, it is something that is of interest to me. So, of course, I'm going to just run through these things. You can say yay or nay. You may have tried some of these before because you didn't list everything that you've done. Angelica root is your friend. You know that, right? Angelica root, Dong Quai root, is the female fertility power root. I want you to make some angel wine. Do you know what angel wine is?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Angel wine is where you take some wine and you're going to chop up angelica root in it. I don't like the powder. It's just too powdery. I like to take actual angelica root and chop it up in there. And you can use red wine and just be soaking it in there. If you want to do it according to a European a folk magical tradition, you might do it under the light of the moon because, of course, you know, the moon and all that. But I'd like to let it go under the moon and under the sun because I'm looking for the moon can be a sterile mistress, and I would like it to go under both the sun and the moon for fertility reasons. Right now we got Mercury retrograde, not so good. Not so good. Let's wait till Mercury goes direct, okay? And because Mercury is the child, and we're talking the European folk magic tradition right there. Mercury is the child, so we don't want to have this with Mercury retrograde, not good. If the IVF is going to be happening during Mercury retrograde, not so good. Just try to get that with Mercury direct. Okay. Now, Angelica wine or angel wine is a little bitter. Some people will stir a little honey into it when you make it, and it's a very powerful potentiator of estrogens, and so you want to just use that nicely and wisely. A teaspoonful is a dose. I'm sure if you have any background in magic, you know what I'm talking about, how to make this sort of a wine magically, correct?
Yes.
Okay. All right. If anybody has any questions at this point, now is the time to ask. All right,
yeah,
that's number one.
I'm just looking on the calendar, and I'm not supposed to do this until September. And Mercury, it looks like, comes out of retrograde, like middle of August. So.
Yeah, you're pretty cool. I think it's August 7th or 8th. Yeah, you're cool. Okay. So just start making the angel wine after Mercury turns direct. Just hold off on this till Mercury turns direct. Okay. Now, the next type of spell work that I would do is what I call kitten magic. Do you have a cat?
No, I don't.
Okay. Are you allergic to cats?
I am not allergic to cats.
Good. Okay. Get a cat. It doesn't have to be your cat. Kitten magic is something that was taught to me a long time ago. I have used it. I've mentioned it on this show. Women who need to get pregnant will hold kittens. This is why witches were always associated with, they have cats, right? Kitten magic works. Kittens, cats, I call it kitten magic, but it can be, you don't need it to be a baby cat. Kittens or cats, I guess I call all cats kittens, which is a mark of how obviously obsessed I am with cats. kittens weigh about the weight of a baby. An 8-pound kitten, eight-pound cat is the size of a baby. Okay, I want you to be holding, petting, stroking a very good domestic cat. Doesn't matter if it's male or female. Learn to love your kittens. And somehow, I know this all sounds crazy. Y'all can just laugh. But stroking kittens, petting kittens, holding kittens to your bosom, looking into the little kitten eyes, and learning to talk kitten language, which is like to go to the kittens of the world, will make you get pregnant. Just trust me. Can I get a witness? Can someone in the chat room be a witness?
That's just too funny.
Okay.
There is a gal in the area who does a like feral cat, you know, she's very involved with, you know, like adopt a cat or foster cat. So
mm-hmm.
I can borrow a cat for a while.
Yeah. Well, sure, exactly. You want to do kitten magic. I've known people to do it with rabbits as well, large rabbits. But rabbits mm-hmm. don't curl up on their back and purr the way a kitten does. And so you can ask the cat. I'm going way out here, but you ask the cat. You get the cat all curled on its back. It's looking you in the eye. You're looking the cat in the eye. You're petting the cat. And you say to it, kitten, bring me my baby. Just telling you, it works, okay? I have done it. I have prescribed it to others, okay? When you get to the point where you're starting to dream about the kittens, then you know you're going to get pregnant right away. Okay. Now, people in the chat room are laughing and saying, well, can you do this and not get pregnant? Of course you can do it and not get pregnant. I'm just saying it just potentiates your...
I've had plenty of pets.
So it potentiates your estrogen, oxytocin. It does all the good stuff for you. All right, I'm going to turn this over to Ollie. Ollie, you give her some more hoodoo things, but those were my two best.
Sure. Interestingly enough, my great-grandfather, who is a folk saint in the Middle East, is actually famed for fertility work. He was a blind seer, and women, and my own aunt, several of them could not carry a baby, and they went to him, and he performed a very unique Middle Eastern charm in order to ensure fertility, and it worked, and he passed that tradition on to me. So I will teach you how I do it. What I do is I take a chain, and it's got to be a long chain, one that you can wrap around your belly, but you have enough room to wiggle out of it, okay? And it's a nice fine chain and a small lock. And what you do is you first soak that chain in a herbal mixture, okay? My recommendation would be something involving angelica. Angelica is great. Angelica, althea, these are excellent roots and herbs, you know, used for fertility. And then you wrap that chain around your belly, okay, and you take a lock, and as you're praying Psalm 19, if I remember correctly, I'm pretty sure it's Psalm 19, yes, Psalm 19, which is used for childbirth, you lock the chain, okay, so the two ends are locked together, and you pray. As this lock, you know, clicks into place, may whatever baby is placed in my womb stay there until term. Okay, and this is to help with miscarriages. This is to help to make sure you get pregnant. And then you dress that with a little bit of holy oil, blessing oil, and I would add protection oil to keep the baby safe. Then you slip that little chain off of you, you know, you right over your, you know, upwards or downward, whichever is easiest, and you keep that somewhere safe. You can place it in a bag. You can place it under your pillow. You can place it on an altar, which you've lit candles, blessing candles and protection candles. And it is it has worked every single time. I've probably done this particular spell myself, I would say about 20 different times for various family members, for clients, and it has always worked. It's very powerful. It's simple, but very powerful. My aunt, who could not carry a baby after my great-grandfather did this spell for her, she went on to have 6 kids. Okay? So definitely recommend this. It's simple, straightforward, but it works.
Wow.
I love that.
Great.
I love
Dr.
that.
Dr. E, do you have one?
I do have suggestions, and I'm going to take a slightly different approach. I'm going to give her an Eaton spell that she can do. And for this, I like to do sort of something to represent the woman and something to represent the man. So I'm going to recommend that you get yourself some nice ripe figs, fresh figs, not the dried ones. Get fresh ones because they look like a uterus. And if you cut them just right, they can look like a vulva, okay? So you want to serve a plate of figs and some goat cheese, because we all know goats are very well known for their male virility, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So you serve some goat cheese and some figs with a little bit of honey on them, and you share them between you and your lover while you sip on some glasses of Damiana liqueur. Now, Damiana liqueur you can usually find at a nicer, like, liqueur specialty store. You're not going to find this at a regular liquor store. You want to go to someplace that has a nicer collection of wine. Damiana, D-A-M-I-A-N-A. Damiana liqueur is a known aphrodisiac, but it also has real strong feminine fertility aspects to it. And the cool thing is, this bottle looks like a beautiful, voluptuous Venus of Willendorf kind of, you know, shape. She's modeled after, you know, those shapes. So there's a lot of fertility around this type of liqueur. So just have a little sip of this. Share this with your husband as you're enjoying these all of these things that represent fertility, and take them into your body, and as you eat them, literally tell yourself, as I consume these figs, my womb grows ripe and fruitful like these figs. As I consume this cheese, the strength and the virility of the goat is reflected in my husband, and together our fertilities unite so that I may be fruitful, I may be pregnant, and I may be as fertile as this liqueur that we're drinking. So it becomes this really beautiful sort of shared spell that the two of you can enjoy together. I would recommend that. And then I notice you live in Seattle, so you're close to the ocean. A real great thing you do is just go down to the ocean and petition the ocean mother, who we call Yamaya in Santeria. She is the mother of all living things, and she's given birth to more babies than anybody else. So you just go down to her and just talk to her. Spill your guts out to her and tell her, bring me my baby. We're trying hard. You know this is something that I want, and I just ask you, and please bless me. And you can even take some of her waters and wash your belly with those waters. Or if you're in a private place, maybe wash your private parts with the waters, just so that you can really be fertile and that in vitro fertilization will really take hold and be productive for you.
And that's going to lead me to one more, and that is, since we're going around the world on around the world tour here of different fertility rites, there in India, ladies who want to get pregnant will find a Shiva Linga stone, and these can be very large ones, and Shiva being the creator slash destroyer god, represented by the symbol of the large penis. The Shiva Linga stones are naturally occurring stones that are sort of a grayish, light tan, grayish brown, and then they have a red area usually at the tip, which can be seen as being like the glands of the penis, or it can be seen as being him having sex with Kali and representing female blood joined with male. These stones are found all over India, and it is quite common to this day for women who have not been able to conceive to go and to use the common slang, to sit on it and twirl, okay? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can find a Shiva Linga stone in a Shiva temple, that would not be untoward. People do that. Make an offering to Shiva and ask for impregnation, okay? So, but there are several ways here. In some cases, people would think of it as being, I need the male energy to impregnate me, and others say the female mother will help me. You can do both, okay?
Thank you.
And I love them all. They're wonderful spells. Good luck to you, baby. All right?
All right. Thanks.
All right. Let us know what happens.
I will.
Okay. Thank you. And now, Ms. Tammy Lee, let's get our next guest in.
Yes, ma'am, Ms. Kath. And a reminder to everyone that the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour is brought to you each week by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. Lucky Mojo manufactures and distributes all the paraphernalia of hoodoo and conjure, including anointing oil, sachet powders and incense, crystal salts for spiritual baths and oil wash, herbs, resins, waters and colognes, roots, zoological and mineral curios, books, candles, and religious goods, folkloric amulets, talismans, and charms. Drop by if you're in the area or find us online at luckymojo.com. Now it's time to return to the callers who've signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum. Our next new caller is calling in from area code 805 from Los Angeles, California. This is Enjoy the Silence. Are you there, caller?
I'm sorry, Tammy Lee, but she's not in. What we're looking, the person we're looking for is from 865, and it would be Aquarius Painter.
Okay, all righty, Aquarius Painter. Okay, 865. There we go. Aquarius Painter, are you there from Knoxville, Tennessee?
I am.
Great. Welcome to the show. As a new caller to the show, I'm going to go ahead and read the brief description of your situation. And he writes, I'm very new to the conjure community and feel a strong connection with everything that I've learned so far, though it is very little. I turned 26 this year on the 26th of January. I joked that this would be the year that I got my special powers. Everything in my life has really locked into place, and I found myself led to root work, even though I had never would have believed it would be possible. I grew up in Tennessee and in a very Baptist family. I've always felt different, like I had something special to give of myself. I would love to have a reading and find out what you see in store for my future and any suggestions that you have towards following this beautiful tradition. May God bless you and keep you, and signed Aquarius Painter. Lovely. Turning it back over to you.
All right, Aquarius Painter, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you very much. I'm very excited to be on.
Okay. All righty. So you are 26 years old and coming into your power. And
yes.
What we would like to do for you, we can do a brief reading and also give you some advice about which way to go. All right?
Okay.
So
Perfect.
Let's have Ali do a real quick reading on what he sees in store for you.
Okay. I'll try to keep this brief so we can dive into what you can actually do in order to really develop your abilities.
Okay.
You're an Aquarius painter. You are an Aquarius, I assume, yes?
Yes.
And do you paint? Are you an artist of some sort?
I do. I'm actually the studio manager of an art store where people come and they drink wine and paint, and
perfect.
We teach them how. So.
Perfect, perfect. The reason I ask this is because one of the cards that I have here is the Eight of Pentacles. The Eight of Pentacles shows a young man sitting on a bench, and he is engraving coins with a pentacle, and he's putting them up to display. You know, so he's putting his artwork, his craft up to display, which in a certain sense is the studio. Right?
Yes.
This is really going to be tied to your abilities as a root worker, is to combine your skills as a studio manager, as working with
mm-hmm.
art, as possibly painting or crafting. But combining those two elements together is really where your gifts are going to lie. So you're looking at things like spirit art. You're looking at things like fixed paintings of some sort, or, you know, blessing and consecrating or fixing paints, things like that. The Eight of Pentacles is a really good card. It tells us that you are starting out, that you are a young craftsman, that you have quite some time, you know, this is the apprentice, you have some time to go before you can really call yourself a conjure doctor, but you have what it takes. What's beautiful about this is that both of these worlds, your artistic side, your side of working in the studio, combined with your skills as a conjurer and root worker, are really going to blend well together and actually can be something that you can gain money from, because the Pentacle cards are all about coins and money. So there's some
uh-huh.
there's some finances in your future. There is some ways of supporting yourself by combining these two loves that you have. The next card that we have is, again, a very positive card. This is the Four of Wands. The Four of Wands shows four staves with garlands hung from it, and in the background there seems to be a celebration. It's a wedding or celebrating the harvest or the spring. Your ability, your creative abilities are really coming through with this. You have this craftsman, and then you have this wand card, which is all about the ability to create, the ability to use your passion, your desire, your love, to really transform. What you want to focus on first and foremost is really developing from the ground up your skills as a root worker, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Learning the basics, planting the seeds that will eventually blossom into your success as a root worker, because that's what this Four of Wands is. It's about harvesting. It's about planting those seeds, taking, Miss Cat's course is something that you should consider, things to really develop your skills, getting her book on hoodoo root and herb magic, those type of acts that help you build from the ground up will be planting the seeds of your success. And the final card that we have is a good card, but it's a card of saying, take your time. This is the Three of Wands. The Three of Wands shows us, again, it's a fire card. It's very passionate. It's a man standing on a cliff or on a hill, and he's looking down at the ships that are coming, and these are his investments that are finally paying off. Now, he's waited quite a while because he's a bit rugged. His clothes are all patched and worn. So this indicates that, you may be very skilled at root work, which the cards indicate that you are, but that it's going to take time for you to really develop fully into who you're meant to be as a root worker. To take some time to really let these two sides of your life as a studio manager working with art and your life as a conjurer, mingle. Take your time and let that grow naturally. Okay, don't try to speed things up or force things or try to dive in too quickly. Work at a measured pace, and you will see, you will start to reap the benefits of working this type of unique perspective of combining your artistic skills with your conjure skills. You definitely have the gift for this work, and you can more than likely look towards a future where you may be making money in this field, okay?
Okay. That's pretty amazing. It really, that makes a lot of sense for me because it's very easy for me to want to rush into things, and that's exactly how I feel with this because I've never felt so connected to something before, but I felt like it does have this air of importance about it that I do feel I need to be cautious and be well-educated. It's like you said, there are so many people out there that are looking to just make a quick buck or this or that. And it's funny that you talked about like marriage and bringing people together. That's very important to me, helping relationships. So
good. Yeah, definitely take your time with this is what the cards are saying. You have the gift, but don't rush it.
Yeah.
Okay.
That Three of Wands was the last card that Ollie drew. I often associate that card with 3 years, just for the record. So give yourself 3 years. I'm gonna add some things here, and rather than read, I'm gonna give you some practical advice. I put a little note in the chat room. There are many people who are interested in spiritual work and practice conjure in particular who are artists and graphic designers and also musicians, and the list is long. Dr. E's graphic designer, of course I am, Brother Jeffrey Vanderson, Madame Nadja is a filmmaker, Reverend Fred is a professional musician, Deacon Millett is a writer and graphic designer. There is always a large component of people that we know in all of the magical fields, and I could say the same for those in Wicca or those who are in other spiritual and magical traditions, who are also writers and artists. I mean, there's kind of a creativity thing going on there. How you use that, though?
My ears are burning like crazy because I'm also a graphic designer. I also used to be a professional singer at a theme park. I really, that's crazy.
Yeah, right. Well, there's a lot of us. You're not the only one. And, part of this does come down to using this work and using it to help people. But there's also something else which a lot of us don't like to talk about, but I would call it, very frankly, the performance aspect of being a professional root doctor.
I am.
And that is not to say phony, because people associate performance with phoniness, But just even performing in the sense of being a lecturer, being a talker, having the ability be dropped in, having the ability to be dropped into a situation with a total stranger and make a connection does require some understanding of that. There are ways of making personalized charms, amulets, that call in a great deal in artistry. For instance, Papa Newt mentioned sanctifying inks, a very old grimoire tradition to make a sanctified or specialized ink to make talismans out of. There are many other types of things. A person who came through my course, Christopher Warnock, he makes fantastic Renaissance astrology talismans, all consecrated in the right time, but also knows hoodoo. And there is an artistry. Another guy was Butch Comer, who is a tattoo artist, and we were talking about sanctifying inks to make for him to use in tattooing people. So think about those things. I'm going to turn this over to Dr. E.
Okay.
So I've said my piece, but let's go ahead. Make your comment.
Hi, this is Dr. E, and I am a graphic designer. I actually worked as an art director for 15 years before I dedicated myself full-time to my conjure work. And and Kat is absolutely right on all of her points. I want to expand one of the points that that both of them made. Conjure Man Ali saw the Three of Wands. I also got the Three of Wands in the cards that I pulled out, and Kat said 3 years, and I was actually thinking, you're not going to see a transition into doing any kind of good work or anything full-time until you pass your Saturn return, and that happens in 3 years for you when you're about 29 and a half, 30 years old.
There you go.
So that's when you're going to see that happen. That's when you're going to see the shift in career. And frankly, that's about when it started to happen for me, too. I started Dr. E Products when I was about 30, 31. So it's a common time period for it to happen. Let me ask you something. You said you're finding a call for this. Have you done a lot of root work yet?
I haven't. I have purchased some things from the Lucky Mojo Curio Company. I have some candles and a couple oils. And really, Miss Kat, thank you. The website, everything that everyone does, it's been so informative because that's really all I've known. But I haven't had a chance to look through much yet. So I haven't done too much yet.
Okay, great. Well, you know, baby steps is what I always say. So start with reading all the wonderful information that Kat and Lucky Mojo offer up on their website. Read about the products and of course, buy the products and try them. But I also recommend you go and go through the air listing. Look at how people craft their spells, how we set them up, because we each do them a little bit differently. See how we approach things differently. Click through to our website and see how our philosophies vary and maybe how I may approach a reversing spell versus how Mama Star may approach one. And you'll start to get an education in the viscera of magic that way, in this sort of, in the indescribable art that is magic and how we set things up and how we approach them. Start to absorb the information that way, okay? If you haven't done so already, sign up for Kat's correspondence course. It really is the course to learn root work par excellence if you aren't already a student. That should be your primary goal. Start there and start learning it. And then what I tell people is you really want to unlock these skills, right? The best way to do it is the same way you learn to ride a bicycle. Get on that bike and try it, okay? And you're going to fall sometimes and scrape a knee or stub a toe. That's okay. Get back up and get back on that bike and keep going. You got to keep trying it, keep trying it. And you'll learn with time that you will have natural abilities in certain areas, and you may have zero abilities in other areas. That's okay. People know very well that I cannot cast a court case spell to save my life, okay? And I have certain taboos around why I can't do that, and now I know why, okay? That's all right. There's other people who are talented at that. But you give me a curse removal or a reconciliation spell, and you're going to see miracles happen. You know, everyone is different. So you need to learn by exploring your skill where you're best skilled at and where your areas of expertise will be. And I say start by learning, like I said, by going to Kat's website and our websites and seeing what you can learn that way through absorbing. And learn the divination method if you haven't yet, okay?
Okay.
If tarot is too complicated, start with something a little bit simpler, you know. But learn the divination method because that's going to be your key to finding out all of the information around the situation so that you know the right approach to take. It's like scouting, right? You're not just going to go run into the wilderness. You use a map, you know. Your reading will be like a map in the wilderness of root work. Okay, so learn the divination method, start to unfurl and then develop those spiritual skills, and give it time. Like I said, 3 years of study and application before you really start getting yourself out there. And you're going to find, as many of us did, a natural blending between your artistry and your magic. Mm-hmm. It will evolve naturally over those 3 years.
There's a reason why we call, you know, when people talk about the art of magic.
It is an art.
It is an art. And I'm going to just add a couple of things. Learn a divination system. If you go to AIR, you'll find we have written pages on many, many divination systems. We don't tell you how to do them, but read them, and you'll see what you like. And you'll see which ones kind of appeal to you. Likewise,
that is funny you say that. Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, I was compelled to tell you, that's part of the thing that was a big conflict with me as far as being Baptist, because growing up I could never have a Ouija board or magic 8-ball. I'm not comparing those to true divination products, but I found myself really drawn to these, I believe they're called gateway oracle cards, and I'm a firm believer in the law of attraction, and you see what you're supposed to see. And it's so funny that Ali kept saying, planting the seed. I keep pulling that card for myself over and over. That's why I felt like there's something I really need to be practicing it. But that is literally the name of the card, planting the seed.
Well, That's great. Well, I love
speaks,
it.
We listen.
I love it. That's great. Well, you know, as readers, we're often educated by our own clients. That's good. Now, I'm going to say one other thing, too, and this goes back to what Dr. E said about looking at the different root workers' bio pages or on the site. You'll find everybody has different styles. And, for instance, many of us, I do graphic art for the labels for my candle, which are based on my background in comic book art and pulp magazine.
Yes, and oils and things, right?
Other people will do them differently. Brother Vanderson does a whole system where he paints with tempera pent and scrapes it out like a scratch board and does reverse stuff with sigils on it. Everyone is different, and his stuff is fantastic, too. So look at everything. Look at how people do the same kind of spell. Say this is a honey jar, and one of them will be, you know, really elaborate, one will be very simple. The artistry of how we do the work is something you can learn from looking at those pictures. A picture really is a valuable teaching tool.
Sure.
And all of us are different, and all of those are valid methods of working, but they are different. And there are people who I used to call Papa Jim, the king of tinfoil. This guy did not write a spell that didn't involve aluminum foil. I mean, every spell had aluminum foil in it. I had never heard of using. I mean, I'd heard of using aluminum foil in a couple of spells, like a little mirror box quickie thing, in a few. But I mean, this guy used aluminum foil for everything, and I'm like, whoa, you know. And then, you know, we have people like me, and I'm putting herbs into everything because I'm a big herb fan. There are
that's
other
already
people
worked
who
well
do,
for me. Yeah.
Yeah, there's other people who make an egg. Every spell job contains an egg, a blown out egg. Some do, some don't. And these become signatures in a way. They are not one more right than the other or more traditional, but we all have our little ways of working. So just study with a bunch of people, look around. My course is open, you know. So I think be prepared to spend some time at it. And and consider spirit paintings. Have you ever tried to do spirit paintings?
Well, no, and it's funny because until this call, it had never occurred to me to put anything in the paints. You know, you could do that, never crossed my mind. Mm-hmm. Although one of my very first original paintings I did was of a African man painting his face for war, like almost like a voodoo man.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's so funny that that's just what came to me. I was so drawn to that, and it never occurred to me till now.
Well,
can I
do something? For example, put some reversing product in those paints, or you put some protection products in those paints, and that African warrior now becomes your guardian. You put that up in your house, and now you have a... See, adding a little bit of spiritual work into your already natural skills as a painter is going to go a long way. And now you're actually taking part in the creative process, because that's what magic is. Magic is really very much part of creation. And I would say that it is an extension of our personalities. Your personality is one of a painter. You know, so you're going to want to include those elements in your root work. Your root work will have the elements of a painter, and your painting will have elements of a root worker. Okay?
And that's where you're
going to find your success.
If you're a professional quality painter, you can also paint. When I say spirit paintings, I don't only mean with prepared materials, but paintings that indicate the spiritual nature of the person for whom they're painted.
Oh, yeah.
Or, painting the spell into a painting. In other words, if you have any spiritualist inclination and can see spirit guides around a person or see auras, you can paint that if you can. Mm-hmm. And that will
I have really been open to that before, and as I'm finding myself drawn to these things, I'm starting to trust my intuition more, and I've definitely felt closer to that. So I will definitely
Yeah. Well, it's just something to keep in mind. There's a long history. You won't be the one who invents this. There's a long history of such work going back a long, long way. And and you might check it out. There's a lot of people who have done this kind of work and have helped and benefited a lot of people with that with their blending those talents.
Sure. Okay. Well, it sounds like a $1 million idea.
Adding money drawing stuff to your paintings
exactly.
also will get them sold.
Right. Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's another good one. And I'm gonna add another thing. My father was a painter, and he had a particular thing where he would go to different places and collect sand. From different beaches, rivers in California. And he would make these paintings in which he glued the sand down in patterns, not like a sand painting. It was just like they were paintings or abstract paintings, but they had sand in them. And you'd go there, and you wouldn't necessarily know which place it was, but you would get the feeling for what, you know, the Stanislaus River was like or what the Sacramento River was. I mean, the sand... He used the sand as a spiritual connection to the place, and that's another way that people can you can actually do a collage in the painting. In other words, put things.
The sand has the energy of the place, and the painting, then you feel the energy of the place. I definitely agree with that way of thinking.
Yeah, absolutely. And his paintings were abstract, by the way. These were not landscape paintings. They were abstraction, but they put you in that place. Anyway, those are some ideas for you.
Just like to capture a mood instead of even something that you can physically see.
Yeah.
I understand.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. All right, hon. Well, it was nice talking to you. We got to move on, but good luck
to you. Thank you very much.
Give us a call, and we'll talk again sometime. All right.
I sure will. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Okay.
All the best.
Bye-bye.
Okay, Miss Tammy Lee, how are we doing?
We're doing pretty good, Miss Kat. We've got about 29 minutes to go left in the show, and a reminder to everyone that the support for this program is provided by the Lucky Mojo Stereo Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com. And by the Association of Independent Readers and Reworkers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic contra practitioners located online at readersandrootworkers.org. And by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of missionary independent spiritual churches located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now it's time to go to the phones and pick our next client. Our next client is calling back in from area code 713 from Houston, Texas. This is Rookie to Conjure. Rookie to Conjure had a reading with Conjurman Ali on June the 17th. So just to go ahead and let you know there. And Rookie to Conjure, are you there, caller?
Yes, I am.
Great. Mm-hmm. Welcome to the show. I'm going to go ahead and read the brief synopsis. You're welcome of your situation for a host. And she writes, my boss cut my hours and gave me an ultimatum to either leave or work part-time. I feel humiliated. I feel lonely at times, don't have any real friends, am not close to my family, and people tend to avoid me. Turning it back over to you.
All right. Well, since, Ali, you have read for this person before, let's break up our normal thing and have you read first, because I'm sure you know more about this situation.
You know, I don't remember this particular situation, so I'll be fine with having Dr. E read, and then I follow up.
Okay, what were you going to say, honey?
I recently changed my username or my login name on Lucky Mojo, so maybe that's why you don't recall. The reason I was changing my name because due to privacy reasons, like, you know, coworkers or family members. Recently, my brother told his ex that I was, you know, in the Lucky Mojo, and she knew my username, so that's why I just changed my name again. But I was Rookie, then I went to Newbie 82, and now I'm Rookie to Conjure.
I know who this is. Yes,
my dear, you've lost me.
Oh, okay. Well, I know who you are now, honey. All right. Well, since Ali has passed back to Dr. E, let's have him do the reading.
All right. First of all, it's nice to meet you, and I'm sorry to hear about the situation with the job. I take it you're still in the same situation where you've been given this ultimatum, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, the first thing I want to let you know is that you shouldn't feel humiliated about this situation with your job, okay? This is a very, very difficult economy that we are dealing with right now, and a lot of people are facing similar situations in their professional life. I know from a lot of my clients that I've had, they're going through similar things. So if it's any consolation, don't take this situation as something personal, okay?
Okay.
This is one of those things where you have to remember that business is business, budgets are budgets, and they need to find ways to cut corners, okay? Well, my reading is here is that the situation that is covering the job is not a good card at all. This is a card that is telling me that that job has served its purpose in your life and it's time for you to move on, okay? If you are... it seems like either way here, you're going to be out of the situation. So my suggestion to you is if you don't have a job lined up already to replace this one, start looking fast, okay, and maybe accept the part-time work in the meantime to float you over, unless by them laying you off, you get more money through unemployment benefits. Do you see what I'm saying? Either way, you want to have enough financial cushion to survive while you find a new job. And the new job you get, by the way, if we do a little bit of conjure on the situation, is going to be much better than the job you currently have, okay? Because aside from the financial problems that this company has been having, the guy himself is a bit of a pill, okay? The boss is a bit of a pill, a bit to deal with, kind of a little bit of a tyrant. And so while you've had good times in the past in this job, really, your future in this job doesn't exist. It is one where you will just be tied up and tied up and tied up and be restricted and restricted to the point that you're either going to be forced to leave or you're going to get so upset that you'll have no other remedy but to leave, okay? This is one of those things where the chapter is drawing to a close. Now, is this a field that you work in where you could maybe work for yourself, or is this a job that you work in where you pretty much have to work for other people? Like, what work do you do?
I do accounting.
Okay, so you're pretty much going to be working for other people. Would you feel comfortable doing maybe contract work or working on your own freelance for other people?
Definitely. I mean, I actually gave my notice, so, I mean, that's
done.
Great,
okay. Well, the thing is, get clients and get them fast, okay? What I have learned with this tricky economy that we're dealing with, the clients that I have that are the best off are the ones that are working for themselves. You set your own hours, you set your own rate, and if you've got a nasty client, you fire them, okay? So I will tell you, everyone who's self-employed right now is doing great in this economy, where all the people that are working for corporations or businesses are having a really hard time and they're feeling the pinch. If you can launch your own business doing your accounting work freelance, that's going to be the best option for you. The next best option would be if you could maybe work like a long-term contract for another company, but you still sort of call your own shots and determine what your pay rate is. Okay, but those are both going to be much better options for you. But the main thing you need to remember here is don't feel humiliated, okay? This is not your fault. There's nothing you can do here. You, amongst many Americans, are going through a really hard time right now, okay? Now, in terms of the issue with friends and family and so forth, what do you feel is the main obstacle as to why you don't have people in your life? Is it just the time that your career took away from you, or what seems to be the problem?
I don't know. I mean, I'm very friendly. I talk to a lot of people, but sooner or later, they just, like, give them they're back to me, so I don't know what really is going on.
Okay. I've pulled two cards on that situation. I see. The first card is the moon. The moon card for me has always represented that things are not as they appear. This can sometimes talk about deception. It can talk about people being two-faced because the moon does not have its own light or reflects the light of others, you know. So this can talk to me if you've had real people that are not really trustworthy around you and people that are very duplicitous or have ulterior motives. And the other thing here I see is that there's been a lot of problems in your past, lost sleep over these problems and stress and so forth. It might be a good idea for you to do some type of cleansing, emotional cleansing, something like that, to shed off the negativity from these past friendship interactions, and then maybe do some attraction work with a little element of protection in it to filter out those untrustworthy people. Maybe something like an attraction mojo bag with a little devil shoestring just to trip up those devilish people, something like that. Mm-hmm. But I think the friend thing is going to kind of take a back seat right now to finances in your job. We really need to get you in a good job. So that's
yeah.
what I see in my reading. I'll hand it over to Conjurman Ali and see what he says.
Okay.
You know, I think Dr. E did a wonderful reading, and I couldn't agree more with him. What I'm going to do is I'm just going to throw the shells. I'm going to do a Kimbanda reading. Bear with me as I do a small invocation, and I'm going to see if there's anything else that we need to add to it, okay? Salve povo de Aruanda, salve Eshu, salve Pombajira, salve povo de Kimbanda, laro ai, laro ai, laro ai, queso mexo nexo e queso mexo na Zambi e... Does she know this person? I'm just going to throw one more to confirm. I have a female figure here. Have you had troubles with a woman? Possibly...
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a female who's sending evil eye towards you here is what I'm getting. So I agree with Dr. E. This looks to be you either made a, there was either a promise made to her or you worked with her. She may be, you know, you either worked with her or you made a promise to her is what I'm getting. Or there was some type of obligation that she felt and may not have come through. Does this make sense to you?
Yes, yes, yeah, definitely.
Okay.
It's a lady that was helping me a long time ago. I was with her for 14 years, and finally I never saw any results. So I just, like, left her. And
so you left her, and she's like, uh-uh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Okay. So I'm getting the message from Spirit, but wasn't, you know, I needed to hear exactly what was going on. Yes, this woman is sending you evil eye. Now, you work with her. Has she already... has she revealed her evil nature to you already? Has she made steps?
No, I haven't talked to her for, like, I want to say 2 months. Because, she was helping me, like, spiritual work, and
mm-hmm.
I never saw any results, so I just left her. And she saw that I owed her money, and no, I always paid her. Every time, every visit, she would ask me for money, and I would pay money.
See, that's the thing right there. She has a sense that you owe her something. That obligation that came up in the throwing of the shells, this idea that you have some form of obligation to her that was not fulfilled. So she feels that she can actively interfere with your life. So what she's done is she's done nothing overly major.
She thinks that she owes me.
Huh?
She thinks that she owes me because I've been with her since I was 14.
Right. So there's this definitely a sense of obligation here that you owe something to her. Now, you know, you said she thinks she owns you. Well, no one owns anybody. That's, you know, sorry, that's a fact of life. But this is the reason why your friendships are having issues, why your money is having an issue, why you are getting this threat. Dr. E is absolutely right. This, your boss is a pill, but your boss is also somewhat of a tool of this woman's evil eye work. Okay?
Mm.
So that's what's going on. I would go a step further from emotional cleansing to full-on uncrossing work, followed up by protection work. Other than that, the only thing I would say is that, you know, absolutely focus first on finances, absolutely focus on getting yourself a job first, and then you can worry about fixing your friendships, because that will come over time, okay?
Yep.
And the moon card for me, when Dr. E pulled that, I went, dead on. Don't
yep.
deal with two-faced people. Don't deal with two-faced people. It's just as simple as that. People who you get a sneaking suspicion that there's something off about them, you have gut feelings. Follow them. They may present themselves as your friend, like this woman did. Oh, I'll cleanse you. I'll help you. I'll help you since you were 14. But the second you walk away, she turns her back and she starts doing work on you. That's not a true friend, okay? That's not a true ally. That's not a true healer. Stay away from the moon card people and focus on uncrossing your life and... getting yourself a new job, moving away from your current position. Okay?
Amen.
Yeah. I'm going to add one more little thing here, and this is about courage. Okay? You have the tools to do this kind of work. You've been around a bunch. You've gone through several different name changes, as you said, in the forum. You also have family members and people who are kind of watching you in a kind of, with their, you know, a little bit crooked. And you have this other lady whom Ali apparently identified very well. I would like you to claim your courage, claim your ability to do the work you want to do. It's time to sort of just stand up on your hind legs and say, I do have the tools. I can get what I want. Dr. E is correct. That job is toast, okay?
Yeah.
And you need to get do what you need to do in this bad economy just to get where you need to get. But always remember, people at the forum, we're your friends, we can help. Always remember that a real spiritual consultant and a real spiritual guide will be there for you when you ask for help. And if you don't ask for help, they will shake your hand and say goodbye. They won't say, you know, you better come back to me or anything like that. This is kind of what we were talking about earlier in the show when we started with Dr. E about fraud and exploitation. This woman is not about fraud, but there is a sense of exploitation here. And, you know, we just need to always remember that we're all able to walk our own paths. Do your work for yourself. Stand up. And if you need someone to help you with root work consultations rather than doing the work for you, if you've graduated to that where you just need a consultant, then that's good. Okay? Does that make sense what I'm saying?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Claim your space, baby. All right. That's what I'm trying to say. Okay. Vicki Trancho said something really great in the chat room. She said, there's a reason this happened. It is time to move on. And that means in both senses, both the job but also on your spiritual work. Okay?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
All righty. Okay, Miss Tammy Lee, let's get to our next stage here.
Yes, ma'am. We're going to go right ahead and go right into our next new caller. We have about 15 minutes left in the show, okay? Our next new caller is calling in from area code 650 from Redwood City, California. And their Blog Talk Radio name is Revive with Bahavana. And I'm going ahead. Are you there, caller?
Hi. Yes, I'm here. Vapna.
Great. Oh, Vapna. Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you so much. I'm going to go ahead and read. You're very welcome. I'm going to read the brief situation for our host, and she writes, I was hired a few months ago as a teacher at a school and karmically acquired a criticizing, controlling manager I learned to stand up to and detach from emotionally. And after completing this, I had to watch my back and around coworkers. I was terminated last week by the manager over technicalities. She had been seeking a reason to let me go due to jealousy of my light. I'm growing my spiritual business and getting the message to work with children as more a spiritual teacher than in academics. I'm seeking a direction in new employment opportunity and to raise my vibration to bring in income and realize fears around success and financial abundance. Thank you. Turning it back over to you.
All right. So, I want to make sure I understand. When you say you were hired as a teacher at a school, this was in a, like what we would just call straight educational school. Was it special education, just regular education? What grade level?
Oh, it was a preschool after school. And I was working with the preschool kids and the kindergarten through second graders.
Okay. And so now you're talking about is growing your spiritual business and working with children as a spiritual teacher. May I ask, what is your spiritual business? What kind of work do you do?
Yes, well, I call it Revive with Bhavna. I'm an intuitive coach. I'm also a clairvoyant, and I teach meditation to adults. But I feel guided to bring that spiritual capacity that I have to the young children these days because they're being pushed too much academically and their souls and their hearts are not being fed. So
don't mess with the academics. No, I'm kidding.
I understand. Okay, so what I'm going to do is just do a very quick analysis to see if I can get the cards lined up here, and I want to see how I see this in my insight as to what your future may hold. Okay, so the first card I have here is a card called the Four of Wands. This is a card of rejoicing. It's also a card of thanksgiving. It tells me that you will, insofar as you praise God, and insofar as you offer help to others and take part in community efforts, you will, in your spiritual calling to help children, you will prosper as you give, so it will be given to you. This is a very happy card of a happy harvest, and it's an exceptionally promising card, but it does also involve being part of a community. This isn't just one person having a relationship with Spirit. So I would say that it looks good, but you might need a partner or other people with you in this realm. Okay. The next card I get is the Wheel of Fortune. This shows a big change is underway for you. The snake is falling off the wheel as the wheel turns. The dog-headed god of faithful loyalty, Anubis, or jackal-headed god, is rising. Justice will be done. There are in the corner four animals that represent the four fixed signs of the zodiac, or the four elements, earth, air, fire, and water, and they each have a book. Do you have any talent or skill as a writer at all? Have you ever done any writing? Good.
Yes.
All right, because that's what I'm seeing here. This is the animals with the books. I would like you to start doing something like a blog or Facebook or connecting them, in which you talk about this particular interest, which is spiritual work for children. What are your spiritual – you have a very slight accent. Where are you from?
Oh, I don't think I have an accent. I live in California, but I am of Indian origin. That is what I bring into my work with people. I teach them how to meditate.
I hear a very, very slight Indian accent. It's not. Were you born in America?
I was born there, but I came here when I was very young.
Yeah, well, you have a tiny little accent from your family. That thing to me that tells me that one of the things then that you can do with meditation and even with various forms of yoga for children would be something that you would be very good at. Start by publicizing the whole field. The first card and the second card are both about reaching the public and about making something available to others. In other words, you have to offer a gift before you will get a reward. And in this particular case, just saying, I have a business card and I'm going to do this is not going to be enough. You will need to give quite a bit of it first. Okay. And the third card I have is the Page or Princess of Wands, and it shows that this is you're embarking on a new way of going to live. You're going to do something new, and it does seem like this is a good idea. Aim high, walk far, plan where you're going to go, face your future. It looks good, but you need to get a little bit more personal fame, otherwise it will not succeed. Okay? All right. Dr. E, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, I'm actually going to use my Chamalongos here in order to get some messages from my infumas, from my spirits. So if you'll bear with me for a moment, I'm going to go ahead and pray in a little mixture of Spanish and Congo. Con licencia de mi taza, trata sarabanda tronco firme, con licencia de mi yaya y yaya lando mi sena. Lando con licencia de infumas de mi taza, con licencia de infumas de mi yaya. Con licencia de mi infumas, se traigo batalla. Aquí está, se traigo batalla. We're asking to find out if what my name is Bhavna. How do you say your name again?
Bhavna.
Bhavna. To find out if Bhavna has a future with the spiritual work she wants to do with children. All right, so what I'm seeing here, what my spirits are telling me, is that you need to be very careful when you're dealing with the realm of kids, because parents are very sensitive when you start introducing children to spirituality. So for you, it's got to be all about approach. Now, I agree with you that children in many ways have been trained out of their spiritual natures in the current academic program that's out there, and that you do have something unique to contribute with your spiritual approach of trying to integrate this back into their educational process. The main obstacle here is, again, parents are very sensitive about what their kids are exposed to. What the sign that came out here tells me is it's going to be more about the philosophy that you wrap into traditional education. So it's almost like the Montessori schools, you know what I mean, where they have a different approach to education and engage kids' creativity a little bit more. You could almost create a philosophy of education, like Kat was saying, where you publish books on it and so forth. And then you can start creating learning centers where you couple good practical education with a different spiritual approach so that kids learn a more holistic way to live as opposed to just learning information. But that by writing your ideas down in books and publishing first, that will lend gravitas to your work. You know what I mean? It will make you seem more legitimate. And that way people won't speak ill of the work that you're trying to do or think, you know, who is this woman and why should we follow her? You know, is she just some quack? No, she is an established writer. She has maybe some psychological studies to back that her approach actually is beneficial to children. And if you take that approach, this could be really big. It could be really big. But if you don't take that approach and you just think, oh, I just want to teach kids spiritually, then you're really limiting yourself tremendously. You're not seeing the big picture. What my spirits are saying here is that you really need to remember the big picture. If she takes this advice, will things work out prosperously for her?
Yes.
Yeah.
Complete balance in all things. Absolutely. And actually, the sign that fell talks about the seal of creation, where all things are put into a pattern where they can perpetuate themselves for eternity. So you could almost create a school of thinking that will even live beyond your life, where it'll be a whole new approach to children. But you have to take this very documented, published sort of approach so that you don't just fly in the face of people's need for academia. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you very much. I've been getting that message right. I just got a computer a few months ago, and I was building a website so I could put some kind of newsletter or blog together.
Yes, well, that's exactly what we're talking about.
Right.
So, Ali, do you have any practical advice on a magical, spiritual level for her to use?
Certainly, and I think both Kat and Dr. E nailed it on the head. Working with children can be very tricky because you're working with their parents, ultimately. And while some parents are going to be very open-minded, other parents are going to be hesitant, especially when it comes to change and a new approach. We're all, by very nature, mankind, especially, you know, we can be very hesitant to change. Okay, we're like, wait a minute, we're not so sure about this. So your approach is going to be key in this, and one of the best ways to do it is start off with a blog, start off with writing, and light yourself, an attraction candle. Set up what I would call a success altar. Okay? And put on there all your goals. Put up images of your goal. If you want a physical place, put up a place that you want to buy. Put a list of all the things you want to teach, the type of students you want to draw. I want to draw intuitive, naturally, in-tuned young kids. I want parents who are open-minded, whatever. Write that list down and place it on your altar. Get yourself a nice big lodestone. You know, I when I'm working with something big like this, I prefer, you know, specimen size or extra large size from Lucky Mojo. And you get those lodestones and you place all that stuff under your lodestones. You decorate this altar with love and affection and attention. And you light attraction candles, crown of success candles. And what I always do is whenever I'm before my success altar is I also dress myself with a little bit of attraction and crown of success so that wherever I go, I draw in those things that I have listed and bring in the success that I want. Start off by building your fame slowly. Start off by really hammering your approach and your philosophy so that you can present yourself as an actual reputable, resource, not just some person with a theory. Okay?
Okay, thank you very much for all of your messages to me and everyone else.
Good luck to you, honey. And when you get to the point where you have a website that has some of this stuff, come and join us in the chat room and post the URL for your website, all right? Spiritual Education for Children. All right. Let's turn it over to Miss Tammy Lee, who will take us out.
Yes, ma'am, Miss Kat. Thank you, Miss Kat and Conjurman Ali. And thank you, Dr. E of ConjureDoctor.com in Long Beach, California, for being our special guest member from AIR this week. We invite you to join us next week when our special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers will be Miss Michael of HoodooFoundry.com in Willits, California. And once again, we've come to the end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Miss Kat via the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and Conjurman Ali at ConjuramanAli.com in Mission Viejo. I'm your announcer, Ms. Tammy Lee, joining you from TripleTownConjure.com in Pensacola, Florida. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio
at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And the shows are available in archives via luckymojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to thank you for being here and invite you to tune in once again next week at this same time when you will hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
Good night, Miss Tammy Lee. Thank you again, Dr. E. It's always wonderful having you.
Yes, it is.
And thank you, Ollie, and to all our wonderful guests. We'll be sticking around for a few minutes in the chat room afterwards, as we always do. And, of course, we'll be back again next week. And I just want to put in a little shout-out. I will be down at the ConjureCon in Santa Cruz later in July. I will be teaching my class in bone reading. If you want to find out about that, you can look them up online. And that's it. Good night.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.